when we just play for the sake of it, like when you create just for this pure release of it, you get all this insight. You tap into a real vein of inner wisdom that most of the time we don't know what's there. We're always looking for answers outside of ourselves. And a lot of people are like, I'm not creative. Well, I'll tell you, I am not creative. And I have a book about art journaling. I teach workshops about art journaling. I have courses about art journaling. I've done a TED talk about art journaling. So it's not about viewing yourself as creative. And I've got little air quotes going here. It's about tapping into the fact we all love to create.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Before today's episode starts, just want to highlight three wonderful books: Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, Get That for Self-Help, Stay the Course, to Elite Performers, 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. If you're high performing, you read Going North, pick this up too. And my wonderful journal, The Going North Advancement Compass. If you read my first book, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, it talks about reflecting upon your days and having a great day. So if you want to architect a great day for yourself, pick this up. So pick up all three of these books if you want to grow today and want to grow beyond to your next level of greatness via Amazon or your favorite bookstore, wherever books are sold. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we've got another super special awesome human for you today, my friends, courtesy of the wonderful podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And they're cool, they're freaking in, and today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers indeed. That's right indeed, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, that's right indeed, hashtag creative, because this lady right here is all of the creative juices, y'all. That's right indeed. If you need creative juice, we got your solution right here, because today's wonderful, wonderful guest, y'all, has not only joined the business of immortality by publishing a wonderful book, but she's also a speaker, as well as a mom, a wife, a global traveler, and a transformational coach. So let's give it up for the wonderful ladies. Get up, you get your butterfly wings in terms of your creativity, the fabulous Susan Hensley. How you doing today, Susan?
Hey, I'm great, Dom. How are you?
Oh, doing great now that you're here.
Yeah. You know, we go through a lot to get those butterfly wings that you promised folks. So they better be ready. No, actually, the whole process is fun. Everyone's seen that caterpillar dissolve into a big bucket of goo, and that chrysalis to get those wings.
Yeah, I was about to say, oh, sure, she got a trap door for me. I thought it was just crayons.
No, it is crayons. Crayons are the key to a lot. It's where it all begins, right?
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. Well, heck, speaking of beginning, I'm pretty sure I forgot a few things in the wonderful intro, since we're not allowed to share the whole story. So mind filling us in on how you became the fabulous, sensational Susan that you are today?
Well, I went through a lot of twists and turns and ups and downs. There was a career in journalism, and I was a corporate executive, but along the way, I stumbled completely accidentally into a hobby that was just something fun I did for myself. And honestly, it was playing with crayons and art, but sort of in a journal. Like, I wasn't hanging anything on the walls. I was just playing, and I spent a lot of time coaching people, coaching executives, career coaching. You know, you mentioned in your terrific intro, I'm a transformational coach. And I love that analogy of caterpillar to that cocoon where we dissolve and then we emerge with our butterfly wings and we become something else. But when we're transforming ourselves, when that next phase isn't clear, we need some help. And playing with art as well as, you know, working with the coach, and there's a lot of great research. Boy, does just playing like you did when you were a kid open up possibilities. It makes you curious. It gets you out of your stuck thought loops about all the things you can't do and why things won't work or why it's too late or you're not good enough. And that magic, that door, that trap door is really, it starts with playing with crayons or paste or glue. And it was that hobby that I loved that I started talking to people about, helped me make career decisions. And then I ended up writing a book, something after the career in journalism I honestly never thought I would do, because it's a personal book and it's a book about brain science and why playing with art works. You know, it's a book called Art for Your Sanity, How Art Journaling Can Manage Chaos and Unleash Joy. In book publishing, you know, we can't have a really long title. You can make a sort of a long subtitle the way I did there. But I really want it to be about going from chaos to joy. And I think we sort of finally agreed on, you know, art for your sanity, because when times are turbulent, having some play and a way to de-stress that's really healthy and good for you is so helpful. So that's a little bit more about what's bringing us together today.
Woohoo! Like peanut butter and jelly, you love to see it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's freaking awesome, indeed. Because, yeah, like a lot of folks over these past 5 years of counting, they're probably like, man, some things went topsy turvy, especially for a lot of folks. I'm like, oh man, it's like I'm starting to come back out of it. And it's like, oh man, it's still kind of crazy. I'm still trucking along. Like, I need to de-stress, decompress. It's like, all right, cool. Art journaling. You love to see it.
Yeah. Because what's sort of cool about it? So a lot of people are like, what the heck is she talking about? What is art journaling? So if you think of everyone sort of, whether you keep a journal or not, you get the concept of like a diary, right? You have a private notebook where you can write about your day, vent your feelings, whatever that looks like for you. And art journaling is the same thing. It's private. You are not trying to make a perfect piece of art. But when we just play for the sake of it, like when you create just for this pure release of it, you get all this insight. You tap into a real vein of inner wisdom that most of the time we don't know what's there. We're always looking for answers outside of ourselves. And a lot of people are like, I'm not creative. Well, I'll tell you, I am not creative. And I have a book about art journaling. I teach workshops about art journaling. I have courses about art journaling. I've done a TED Talk about art journaling. And so it's not about being creative or viewing yourself as creative. And I've got little air quotes going here. It's about tapping into the fact we all love to create. So I always ask people, you know, think back to when you were a kid, right? Whether it was in kindergarten, and there's always some sort of coloring or art involved. There's some paste, there's some glue. And most kids loved it, right? If you think of what you used to love to draw and being proud of it or doodle, that's what you want to tap into. You don't want to go and be an adult and try and take yourself really seriously. You're giving yourself 5, maybe 10 minutes a day to scribble, to draw smiley faces, angry faces, lightning bolts if you're having a great idea, lightning bolts if you want to, you know, have a bad idea and destroy something. Whatever the symbols are, when you can let yourself just express for a few minutes what you're feeling, it's terrific, because it creates a safe container on the page. And you can literally turn the page on that series of feelings of emotion. You're not ignoring them, but you're processing them. And it's so helpful when we're stressed, when we're confused, when we're angry. Because sometimes we can be all those things at one time, right? We
can be, yeah.
Yeah, it's never just one. I mean, and it works if you're excited and or happy. And sometimes we're excited about something and nervous about it. And it can be really a great release.
A great release indeed. Out of curiosity, did you ever doodle on your pages back in your corporate America days during a board meeting?
Yeah. So, you know what's interesting is I worked in a, well, most environments are at that stage when you get high up, very professional, very focused, very productivity. And I'm in the suit and you've got the look and you're prepped and you've got all your notes. And I always found it so helpful. And I learned this back from when I was in television news. Yeah. If there was a shape, like I would do like interlocking squares, it can help you focus actually. And moving your hand on paper, there's something, you know, about that somatic act, right? Where you're connecting your body and your mind. So yes, now back then I wasn't whipping out, you know, colored pens, certainly not the crayons I get folks to use, but I did doodle and I would do some spirals and different things. And I found it at times where a person really was needing to concentrate or you had a lot of tension to be very, very helpful. And it's interesting how many people I have met who since then, who sort of have a go-to doodle that really helps them in many ways to either focus or to relax. Do you doodle at all? I'm just sort of curious.
Every now and then, not a huge doodler.
Great. Yeah, it's, I like folks, you know, when they say, oh, you know, how do I get started? It's like, I love people, maybe if they have kids at home or round kids ever, steal a couple crayons, because so much of what holds us back as adults from being willing to sort of play, if you will, creatively or play with art, is we got that message when we were about 8 or 9 is what the research shows, that maybe we aren't creative or aren't good at that. But I say you give any adult 2 crayons and you tell them to fill a page for 3 minutes, no one's ever going to see it. People light up and it sets them free, because as an adult, if you're holding 2 crayons, you are not taking yourself too seriously. Someone tells you to scribble again on a page, you feel like a kid. And the minute you let go of that inner critic and you let go of all those expectations and you're just playing with your 2 crayons, whatever color they may be, blue and green, orange and yellow, you know, who knows what 2 crayons you grabbed out of the pack there, it brings you back into that place of curiosity, of no judgment. It actually moves you from the left side of your brain over to the right. And it really starts to open up that place of connection, but in a fun way, right? It's very hard as adults to sit down and be like, I need to be creative, because that's just like one more task. Very helpful to get there through a little bit of play.
Me luck indeed, me luck indeed. So I'm talking about indeed, it's like the biggest stern adult who's like level 100 adulting's like, yeah, I'm ultra serious. That's right, indeed. Bow tie. That's right, indeed. Buttoned up like, I am ultra serious. I am stoic. That's right, indeed. I've written 99 books on stoicism. And it's like, all right, so take these crayons, buddy. Crayons. I don't need. And they go in every 3 minutes. Like, what? No. Then they come out. It's like, oh, this is freaking great.
So you know what I love? I love what you just said. And I know you don't mean me to go here, but I'm gonna follow you. So I read a lot of Stoicism in some of those books. And what I love, what the crayons do is they put you into present. They put you into authentic self and awareness and alignment. So I actually would say crayons can be a path to a values alignment. How about that for a connection you didn't think I'd be able to make?
I freaking love it. That's what these podcasts are for, is right there. Get that genius out your brain.
It's like great jazz. I'm not really a musician, but like riffing off one idea leads to another. But you know, you were talking about level one adulting, and I think there's something so true about that. The busier we get, the more serious we take ourselves and our lives, and our problems are serious, right? None of this is about saying it's not serious, but it's about a release that puts things into perspective. Because I bet a lot of what any of your listeners are worrying about today, they may not be worrying about in 10 days. They may not even give it a second thought in 10 months, let alone 10 years. Now, there's really good things and habits you can do today that will have an impact in 10 days, 10 months, 10 years, right? Using that as a way to go out. But we get so caught in our thought and worry loops. And how am I going to get this to-do list done? Or how am I going to manage what's going on with this person? Did they give me a funny look? What's going on with my kids, right? Or, you know, whatever needs to get done, we get very trapped in the busyness. And one thing I love about playing with art as part of working with people who are going through big life transitions is it starts to create space and perspective. And that's where you really get growth. And you start to say, what is going to be important 10 months from now? And where should I put today's focus? And what about 10 years from now? How am I going to be healthier, better, more financially secure, more grounded, have better relationships? And it's very easy. What you called adulting level one can keep us running around in some ways with our hair on fire and not really helping us build a meaningful life.
It's true indeed. It's true indeed. Because, yeah, you're so right. Funny enough, is like, funny enough with my day job, I took like a week off just to use some time that was starting to stack up and get to the cap. Came back to like 100 emails. And when I was done deleting just about or ran through most of them, I think only two of them were still useful.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? And oh my gosh, emails are, yes, it is like a person feels like they've done something, but nothing's really happened when it gets sent and to you. And yes, if you're not there for a week, how many things or 2 weeks just resolve themselves? I love that example. That's terrific.
Oh, terrific indeed. Terrific indeed. Because it's so true. It's like, hey, keep the big picture in mind. Like, hey, focus on one day at a time, the whole life. Like, give yourself a break. Heck, you might even link this episode to a past episode with Dr. Christy McMullen, because she's actually an educator who actually jumped over to the professional training and development field. And part of that, her training is really giving out stickers. So this, with like her stickers with your art journaling, is freaking amazing. Like, it's freaking a great combo.
It is. So what I love, and you know, you can buy stickers and use them in your art journal. You can use anything you want when you play with art. What the key is, you want to go to a kids section in an inexpensive store, whatever you live by, right? It could be like a Michael's, Target, Walmart, what doesn't matter. You buy stuff off Amazon, but you want inexpensive stuff. You want kids stuff. Because the minute as an adult, we get something fancy, what it does is it raises our expectation that we're good with it and that we don't waste it, which is good, right? And that those are good values to have. But this is about processing. And her stickers, without having listened to that particular podcast, what I love about it makes you smile, right? Or it makes you laugh. Or it makes you pause for a moment when you see an unusual sticker. And that's part of what we're trying to do, is create some presence and awareness in the moment and not just be so on autopilot. Many times I'll work with clients and I'll say, how are you feeling today? And what do people say? Great. I'm great. It's fine. I'm great. And, you know, we all know that answer isn't an answer. It's like, hello, goodbye. It's just social currency. When you really then spend some time with how are you? What are you really feeling physically? What are you feeling emotionally? What are you feeling? No, I'm a little bored. I'm a little anxious. I'm a little tired. Actually, I've had 5 cups of coffee and I've got way too much buzz going through my veins. Whatever it may be, playing with art and spending a little bit of time more in the present, where it really does make you think, how do I feel? Because I think when most of us say great or fine or whatever your go-to answer is, I have a friend who says just peachy. And whenever she says just peachy, like to wait staff in a restaurant, it causes them to pause and really think about what did she, first of all, what did she just say to me? Where is this woman from? What is happening? But it's just a slightly different answer that creates that pause and connection.
Pause and connection. That's right, indeed. That's right. Not just a bare pause either. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It's so true. It's like, yep, let's have this default answer here. So that way they don't ask me no questions in case there's one of those really curious folks out there, one of those curious Georges out there. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Metaphorically.
Metaphor, exactly. Oh, I love the little monkey. He was a cute guy. It was one of my favorite characters when I was a kid, was Curious George, like that, and Madeline, and I think it was at Babar, but way too random a thing to go on. So I will tell you this, art journaling, since you brought up the kids' book reference, is really fun because it does remind you of the things that you loved as a kid. And I feel like play is something we act like we don't have any time for, and yet we can play a game on our phone or scroll for 10 minutes, no trouble. So I always try and get people to start with just replacing one set of scrolling. One time you'd pick up the phone during the day for maybe 5-10 minutes. Instead, draw what you used to love as a kid, use some different colors, draw swirls, draw shapes, and just ask yourself how you feel when you play with it, or what are you going through, and start to explore that inner terrain a little bit, but through images. I mean, there's a reason why humans have been using art, you know, since the cave drawings to communicate, to process, to create. And I think we've gotten really, really far away from that in our busy, busy lives.
You can say that again. That's right, indeed. Especially when tackling the good old bridge of the lack of creativity and drawing with the power of AI.
Well, you know, think about it. Nothing could replace your own brain playing. Because yes, with AI, right, it's amazing and I love it for so many things. And yet it's not my feelings. It's not my emotions. It's not how I need to process things. It's not my brain. It's a helpful tool, right? And I think that's a really tricky thing, is to keep us all remembering what's so unique about us, which is like the fingerprint, if you think about it. It's like, how do I feel in this moment? How do I process this moment? What does it feel like to have my feet on the ground, or, you know, this shirt on my back? Is it itchy? Is it comfortable? And to really be in our own skin sometimes, I think, helps us lead better lives. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right, indeed. Better and not better. You'll love to see it. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So my goodness, so has there been one of those art journaling moments where you just decide to just veg out, metaphorically, and just draw something and have fun, but you actually learned about yourself through the whole experience?
So you know what? Almost every single time. And that's why I wrote the book. I love that crazy. It sounds like such a crazy answer and even question, because sometimes I'll just come to it and I'm just drawing the sunshine. I mean, I'll just draw a heart or a tree or something. And as I'm mindlessly drawing, because I think that's part of it. And what does this look like? I'll leave and it will stay with me. It'll be like, yeah, I want to feel a little happier today, or I was feeling down and I wanted to grow. Where it really builds is over time you start to see certain messages. It was very interesting right before before I chose to leave my corporate job. I do a lot of collage and stuff, but I was had a lot of images of windy roads, sort of shrouded in fog. Who knew there were so many? Or people standing on cliffs. And it really helped me as being drawn to image after image like this. If you're just like collaging, I've got the Elmer's glue stick. I'm just tearing things out of magazines or any catalogs that came. Some of this was during COVID, and the mailbox sort of filled up with catalogs and things. You've got the stuff around, you know, you're trapped in the house and you're anxious and nervous and and working a million hours if you are able to go online. And I kept seeing, why am I so drawn to these people on cliffs? Why are these windy roads? It's because I don't know what the next chapter looks like, but I know I need to take that leap. Sometimes I'll take to the art journal when I'm, say, really angry and I'm drawing a little screaming face and I'm so mad because someone, you know, did something, but I'm not yelling at the moment because I want to process this, right? I want to be healthier. I don't want to go screaming and off the handle and got lightning bolts and little screaming faces. And after a little bit, what happens is I don't feel as angry, but I realize what happened is I was feeling scared. I was feeling unloved. I was feeling threatened, which is a whole different conversation than coming at someone in a full-blown rage of, you know, you've done this to me or blah, blah, blah. And that's where I started to really recognize the power, and I've recognized it with clients, is very quickly you're able, not every time, but a lot of times, to process a series of emotions and figure out what's really underneath it. Am I feeling bored? Am I feeling without purpose? Do I need to just get out and take a walk? Did I need a distraction, right? It helps me and clients in many cases sort of figure out what's the next best right step for me to do. You know, is it every single time? No, not necessarily, but is it most of them? And then the real power is over time, you really start to see, if you will, that your inner voice starting to guide you. Like, go this way, walk through that door. Right before the book came out, it was funny. I got really nervous and really scared about the book because it's a combination of my personal story, the brain science of why it works and why it's so important for us to move out of our left brains, the really logical, analytical brains, and over to the right side, that deeply creative, intuitive side. And then it's sort of a how-to. But before the book came out, I got really scared because it is a personal journey and story. And I have some of my own art journal entries. And of course, this is all supposed to be private because everyone else's is, but I was just showing this isn't about making art. And I had found all these closed doors. I must have found like a paint out in a catalog or something. And who knew there were so many like colored doors, but I'd found them and I'd pasted them everywhere. And then one day I realized I had found an open door with a dog, a friendly dog, right? One of those yellow lab dogs with the always look like they're smiling on their face. And our family dogs over the years. And it was open and it spoke to me so profoundly to just walk through that door, that publishing this book's going to be okay, that I had done all this work. I felt it was important to share, to be of service, to help people. And the fears that can come with putting something like that out into the world were, when I was finding all those closed doors, were overwhelming me. And that image of that one open door with that yellow lab sitting by, it's like, no, walk out through. Remember the why you wanted to do this. You know, if it helps one or two other people who's never heard of it, but gives it a try, because it's inexpensive. It doesn't take any real time. It doesn't take talent. It's one of those tools that I've discovered as a coach in all my work and training that has a really low barrier to doing it. You know, on my website, I have a free PDF to get people started on it. And it's one of the reasons I love it so much, is if it works for you, if it strikes a chord, it's not an expensive hobby. It's not time consuming. And boy, can it put you, you know, in touch with your authentic self, or help you even find that aspect of yourself again.
Yeah, me lucky. So right there, as you're going through your story, like, man, I got a follow-up for this. Like, how the heck you get over your fear? And it's like, oh, the yellow Labrador in that photo. I got that's what helped to get over.
Yeah, but and the image is different for everyone, right? It's a highly personalized experience, but you recognize it for you because you know what's speaking to you. And that's some of the magic is it's not, one size fits all because we are different. We are unique.
Yeah, unique indeed, unique indeed. So my goodness, so with all your wonderful coaching, has there been one of those coaching client experiences that helped you to up your game as a coach?
Oh, well, several of them definitely helped me up my game with different ways you find people to reach them. What is the breakthrough? What is that reframe? Always looking for the why, which is the true north. Like, what is their motivator? But I'll tell you, when you asked that question, I actually thought of something, a woman I encountered at one of my workshops. And it was a good reminder because many times when I get involved with coaching, right, I have people do a lot of values work. Like, why are they doing what they're doing? And just like we were talking about a little bit ago, are you doing this because it's easy in the next 10 minutes versus hard? Are you doing it because it's going to pay off in 10 days or 10 months or 10 years? That's a good frame of it's a good series of questions for people to ask each other because we can get so involved in things that are urgent but not important, right? Things that feel urgent. And your life can really drift if you don't have a clear, true north. And some of the challenges are some of the clients that I think the biggest breakthroughs have come from are those who initially come in saying, I want this promotion or this amount of money or this kind of body, but it's really getting into why. What is that going to give you? Because in many cases, we can achieve all sorts of things and still feel very empty. And so it's spending time breaking through. If you really want a boat, and I was joking with this gentleman once, it's like why he wanted to be successful and a thing of success was like X title, because then there's going to be this boat. And it's like, well, why the boat, right? Is it to impress friends? What is it about the boat? The end goal can't just be the boat. It's what it means to you. And it was so moving because it was his grandfather used to take him out on the boat, and his grandfather mentored him and was a key influencer. And it was the hope that one day this gentleman would be able to do that with his own grandchildren. So it's about legacy, right? It's not about a boat per se. It's about generational legacy and connection. So even separating the path toward financial success and career success that would let you buy the boat, there's a lot of work about showing up as a person who can mentor, building a family where people are going to come to you. And that kind of work for a person who comes in and is very focused, not wanting to understand all those whys. Otherwise, it just becomes another project and your coaching doesn't go as deeply. But the story I thought of, so sometimes some clients can be a lot of work to do that excavation and really get to the underlying values of what the goal represents. But sometimes I think as coaches, we can miss the impact of a simple exercise. So I was doing the workshop, and first exercise is like 3 minute timed exercise to a 3 minute upbeat song, and they're just scribbling on a page. And afterwards, it's about a 2 hour workshop. And afterwards, this lovely woman came up to me and very accomplished, raised family and had a career, and she came to this amazing smile on her face. And I don't know what she's going to say. And she says to me, she goes, "Do you know in that 3 minutes, I realized," and she raised around maybe mid-50s, "in my adult life, in the last, say, 25, 30 years, I have not done anything that I can think of that I didn't have a way to be perfect or to try and be perfect. I follow instructions on everything." And she said, "I felt so free in that 1 3-minute exercise. And why I thought of that is many times you're working against the resistant client or the client who's struggling. I think sometimes you don't recognize how a simple thing, a small thing, a certain gesture can make such a big difference in someone's life. And that sticks through me, whether I'm talking or, you know, giving a talk, being interviewed, doing a workshop. Is I will never know how your listeners are taking anything I'm saying. And so while I may be trying to be super profound, sometimes it's a really simple thing that just turns it all around for someone. So thank you for indulging me as I sort of went off on two stories there. One about the hard work of getting to underline values, and the other that, gosh, sometimes it is such a simple exercise and the person just has this massive aha that they're always looking to others to tell them the right way to live, the right way to do something, and really forgot what it's like to just sort of live your own moment for even 3 minutes. It was very powerful.
Woohoo! Powerful indeed. You'll love to see it. It's so true. It's like, yeah, especially if they're one of those goal-driven type A folks. It's like, yep, there's a goal. There's a finish line. All right, beat the time. Get an A++, maybe an S++. I'm like, yeah, style. That's right. I got it covered. And it's like, you know what? Let me just be right here. That's right indeed. Metaphor, can picture myself with a bib and a diaper here and a random halo over my head like, yay, I'm doing nothing. And it feels great, even though it's something.
It's something. It's something.
So my goodness, I got this wonderful back career, if you will, or should I say back careers of a wonderful news reporter as well as a wonderful high-ranking HR executive to boot. So does any of that play in your current role with your transformational coaching?
Yeah, it's funny. I sort of view my career, and I think a lot of people's almost like a spiral staircase, right? I use the journalism skills in certainly the workshops, the writing the book, some of the guest articles I do all the time. And then the HR work really was deeply understanding people and what motivates them and how people work in systems. And yeah, when you talk about the type A people, I've spent most of my career and most of my life, and I resemble one, right? I joke all the time that I'm a recovering perfectionist, and art journaling and what I'm doing now is really as much for me as it is for my clients, right? It keeps me grounded. It keeps me from always, you know, chasing, what's next, and missing what's right in front of me.
I feel you. That's right indeed. No wonder this became your first magical book. So do you have any more plans to produce or publish in the near future?
Yeah, you know, I've recently been doing some speaking. I've got a few ideas. I've started to write about it. It's going two ways right now, both with some really big leadership lessons that came out of early career bullying, and then really helping people to work with, if you will, the voices in our head, to find ways to befriend them and to not have them get in our way, to really make sure that we are telling ourselves the best, most positive stories about our life and not filling our head all day with the worst possible story or why he or she did that and what's next and if I trust them or, you know, trust the world. So I'm playing with a few ideas for sure.
Yeah, cool. Looking forward to them. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's right indeed. I had a feeling you're not letting no grass grow beneath your magical feet and your pens.
No grass growing.
Yeah, that's right indeed. We don't do grass here. We do clouds because we soar, baby.
I love that. Yes, always looking up.
Ah, yes, indeed. So, my goodness, since you've done a bunch of these interviews, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh, actually, that's a pretty good question. Not necessarily. I think where people get most hung up is actually giving it a try. It's why I love the workshops, because we spend a lot of time in our head. It's like, what does it take? What's the leap to doodling and scribbling for a few minutes and seeing how you feel? And I know we sometimes will talk about that, what that takes, what's that motivational step for listeners to go from, this sounds fun, this sounds like a good idea, to heck yeah, I'm gonna go do it. And so lots of times I joke, like, if you're listening to this anywhere, it's safe, right? Not in a car, but you can do some doodling or some playing. I try and really encourage people to think about what it was you used to draw as a 5-year-old and just draw it out real quick and see if it makes you smile or how you feel.
Oh, should make you feel good. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Maybe draw a random field of sheep. That's right indeed. Colorful sheep of colorful wool. That's
I
a reason.
love that. Yeah. You were mentioning clouds. You talk with a lot of imagery. You've mentioned clouds and butterflies and cherubs and halos and diapers and bow ties. I mean, you are an image-making machine, right? And every time you see one of those, person could draw one, like which images are there in your mind?
Well, not all of it comes out for obvious reasons. It's like, yeah, if they see a grizzly bear with yoga pants, they get scared.
Isn't that the truth?
Like, yep, the Coca-Cola bear switched parties, he joined Lululemon. That's right. I'm still.
That's quite the image. See now, lots of things for folks to draw. You are just filling my mind, our listeners' minds.
Although that is kind of one of my, I guess, we call
Many
it a dark hobby.
talents.
Let's go. Let's go with that. Many talents. Yeah, it's
I
where.
like it as many talents. You got all of it happening. It's like a, what is it? Pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
There you go. That's right indeed. It's a pot of gold indeed. That's right indeed. No blood's involved either. That's right.
All natural. All natural.
You'll love to see it. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Art for Your Sanity, How Art Journaling Can Help You Manage Chaos and Unleash Joy. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, I love that. I think it's going to be a bread. So think of brunch and think of an egg scramble, one of those you get in like a pan or a skillet, and it's got some eggs, may have some cheese, some bacon, some potatoes, some grilled veggies. It's got a little bit of everything, but it comes in a container. There's some fun, there's some tasty little bits. So yeah, I'm going with like the old brunch scramble in a little sizzling skillet.
I'd be lucky, indeed. First answer of its kind, too. Good times. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Makes you feel good. That's right, indeed. You get the magical brunch. That's right, indeed.
Exactly. Start your day off right. And lots of times it's got a little celebration going with it.
Oh, yeah, that's right, indeed. Right, indeed. Don't have to worry about crunch time when it's brunch time.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh my goodness. At 25, at 2025, it would definitely be to have more fun. I mean, it's ironic that I'm now writing a book about how playing with art unleashes joy, but that would be it. I would play more along my journey, for sure.
Yeah, that's right indeed. She's going to up the ante to 200 countries, y'all. That's right indeed.
Yeah. Got a long way to go on that. They'll need to add a few.
Well, you got 90, so you're already halfway there.
Just I am about. Getting closer, getting closer, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's all good. It's all good indeed. Well, hey, the good news is folks need to hear this in 90 different countries and 90 different countries to buy multiple copies of your magical books. So for those who need to do just those things and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so, Susan?
So you can buy the book anywhere you buy books. Easiest way to get a hold of me, though, is the website, and you can buy the book there, which is just susan-hensley.com. And the key thing that's there at the website is there's a free PDF. Like I said, I think you end up giving me your email, but I don't email you a lot. You will not be harassed, I promise. You get the free PDF because if you want to start, like I said, I love this because it's simple and it's inexpensive. And if it works for you, that is awesome. That's why I wrote the book. So that's the best way. There's also a little contact button on me and way to work with me. So it's all there. And I get back to folks who reach out with questions too, are just wanting to say hi and have a question about their art journaling.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. So if you're metaphorically lost on the road, Susan's got you covered. That's right indeed. She'll help you get your magical wings back. That's right indeed. Bigger, badder, and more beautiful. You'll love to see it.
I love that. Yes. It's a very helpful thing because we all get lost. We all go through transitions. You don't go through this life and not change and go through some pretty big transitions. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely indeed. It's like one day you leave the caterpillar suit and then you jump back into the dog suit. It's crazy times.
Oh, funny. Yeah, no. You're going to get your wings and fly off and soar.
There we go. Hashtag no more woofing. You get your butterfly wings instead.
Exactly. You want to make that right transition.
There you go. That's right indeed. The old saying is, do you have the dog in you? In this case, do you have the butterfly in you?
Exactly. See how you can soar.
There you go. That's right indeed. Oh, before a kangaroo tries to hop into the pitcher and hop with the butterfly, any parting words before we close the shop?
I think I'm going to have to go draw all these images. You've got my mind, Phil. I've got kangaroos. I've got dogs. I've got caterpillars. I've got so much going on in my mind. No, I think it's really just simple that a little bit of play really unleashes your creativity. Very best way to get in touch with your soul. I'm going to leave you with that. That's a little deeper thought, but I think we all benefit in these times where we could be a little more in touch with us and a little less swayed by all the crazy in the world.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.